Sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. For our God is great and greatly to be praised. Our God is great and greatly to be praised. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord of the earth. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord of the earth. For our God is great and greatly to be praised. Our God is great and greatly to be praised. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord of the earth. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord of the earth. For our God is great and greatly to be praised. God is great and greatly to be praised. I sing unto my Lord a new song. I sing unto my Lord all the earth. I sing unto my Lord a new song. I sing unto the Lord all the earth. Wherever that I go, I'm going to sing unto the Lord over all this earth, whether they want to hear it or not. For our God is great, and He's greatly to be praised. For my God, He is great, and greatly to be praised. I sing unto you, Lord, a new song. Sing unto you, Lord, throughout all the earth. I sing unto you, Lord, a new song. I sing unto you, Lord, throughout the earth. For my God, you are so great, and you're greatly to be praised. My God, you are great, and greatly to be praised. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the earth rejoice. Let the earth rejoice. Let the people be glad. Our God reigns. A fire goes before Him and burns up all His enemies. The hills melt like wax at the presence of the Lord. At the presence of the Lord. The Lord reigns, the Lord reigns, the Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice, let the earth rejoice, let the earth rejoice. Let the people be glad, our God reigns. The heavens declare His righteousness, the people see His glory. For you, O Lord, are exalted over all the earth, over all the earth. My Lord, you reign. My Lord, you reign. My Lord, you reign. Let the earth rejoice. Let the earth rejoice. Let the earth rejoice. Let the people be glad. Our God reigns. A fire goes before you, Lord, and burns up all your enemies. The hills melt like wax at your presence, O my Lord. At your presence, O my Lord. My Lord Jesus, you reign. My Lord Jesus, you reign. my Lord Jesus. Let the earth rejoice, let the earth rejoice, let the earth rejoice. And let Christians be glad that Jesus our God reigns. Jesus our God reigns. The heavens declare Jesus' righteousness. The his people see Jesus' glory. For you, O Jesus, are exalted over all the earth. Over all the earth. And Father, we thank you, praise you, that we can worship and we can sing and we can praise. It lifts our spirits. We know that it's our prayers are like a incense that floats up to you. It's not that you need our praise. You're no more God because we praise you than you would be if we didn't. And you don't need our worship because you lack nothing. But we need to worship you. We need to praise you. It's good for us. You've commanded it. You've asked for it. But not because of what it does for you, but for what it does for us. You've commanded the sun and the stars, the air, the trees, and all these things. And you've done these things for us, your creation. So it's a pleasure. It's an honor. It's not just a duty. We could say it's our duty to do these things. But it's our pleasure to love you. And we couldn't love you except that you loved us first. And now, Holy Spirit, we ask that you would be our teacher as we look to the Word of God. Understanding that we need to get in the Word. For it's everything we need to know about life and godliness. And though so many people throughout this land and through the world have no respect for the Holy Bible, we do. As long as we live, we'll continue to show that respect and continue to learn. Thank you, Lord. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Well, as I said last week, as we get together and we study, asking the Holy Spirit to be our teacher. I'm looking at, for a number of weeks, as we continue to move on, the secret kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, and many of the principles that people neglect. And because they don't understand the kingdom of God, it's secret to them, not because the Lord wants to keep it secret. It's secret only to those that have no love for the Lord. For those that love Him, He wants to reveal His kingdom. But there are principles, kingdom principles. And so we're studying those kingdom principles. We'll get a little deeper into them in weeks to come. We're now just kind of looking through the preamble, you might say, to this. And basically, that the kingdom of God is the kingdom of truth. I'd like us to look at that today, that the kingdom of God is the kingdom of truth. And of course, in a society like we live in now, where the truth is being sequestered, hindered, and a political correctness that is literally so thick you can cut it with a knife, and certainly so thick that it's enough to make you sick to your stomach. So the kingdom of God is the kingdom of truth. And so nobody is going to enter into that kingdom or understand that kingdom that does not desire to know the truth. And of course, as Scripture points out, ye shall know the truth, John 8:32, and the truth shall set you free. I want us to take a look today at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting off with 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. A couple of verses there. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 at verse 12. I'm reading. Second Corinthians chapter 2 and to repeat what we just started with, for a number of weeks we're going through studying the principles of God's kingdom, partly because I've come to realize that most Christians don't seem to understand that being born again is not the end point, that's the beginning. That's the entry point into God's kingdom, but it's not the end. And so there are many principles of God's kingdom that it's obvious to me, as I've spent a good portion of my life around many Christians, obviously, that they don't understand the principles of the kingdom, and so they don't, and they're not benefiting by the many things the Lord wants them to benefit from because they don't understand the principles. So, in a number of weeks, whenever that we gather together, we've been studying these things, and today what we're studying is the kingdom of God is the kingdom of truth. And of course, if there was ever an appropriate time to be studying that, it certainly is now, because so often we're being gagged with political correctness in every possible way, in every possible situation. And of course, political correctness is against God's word. And it's certainly not a principle of the kingdom, and unfortunately many Christians, many of our brethren, have accepted it as a given that they have to do that, that they have to be politically correct, and they can't say anything that anyone doesn't like. And of course, we're very glad that yesterday people across the country went out in different places and stood against the political correctness of Planned Parenthood, which is, a person called me yesterday morning who had been at one of those events and was quite surprised that the Planned Parenthood people had a marching band and were in, you know, great numbers and, of course, uniformed and everything. I said, why is that so surprising to you? Don't you realize they're organized? Don't you realize that they're tremendously well-funded? They make a lot of money for killing babies. They get lots of money for selling baby body parts. And so, obviously, they're able to maintain their political correctness. But remember that the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, is not politically correct. And He is breaking down those situations. The Lord's exposing this darkness wherever it is. So we're looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 2. A couple of verses there. We're going to look at verses in a few places. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, I'm reading from the New King James today. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So there we have a pretty simple explanation of why the people in the world don't get it. A lot of times Christians are so surprised, why don't these people get it? Why don't they understand it? Well, how could they? How could they get, when they're in carnal mind or worldly thinking, how could they get the things of God? The things that are surprising to me, of course, is how many Christians don't get it. We're in a spiritual war, like I said to the man yesterday. This is a war. This isn't a playground. This is a battlefield. We're in a war, and we're in a war against the things of the Lord, against the things of the enemy. Now, the good news in that is the things of the Lord are of Almighty God, and the things of the enemy are minor compared to Him. But we've received not the spirit of the world. Okay? When you're born again, you're not receiving the spirit of the world to become religious, but to be born again and an entry into God's kingdom and God's ways. So we haven't received the spirit of the world there. We've received the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that we have been freely given to us by God. And so once again, that brings up the issue of why we're studying these many benefits. Okay, some of you are still trying to find 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Is that it? You're still turning there. Go to the front of your Bibles. And there's an index in the front of your Bibles that tells you what page in your Bible that there is. Okay? Does everybody have it? Say amen when you got it. You have it? Okay. You have it? Good. All right. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. It's worth repeating over and over again. But the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. So once again, as a theme we're working on for a number of weeks in teaching, is the fact that the kingdom of God has many, if you will, benefits, many things, as it says here, that have been given freely. Okay, we didn't pay for them. We're not paying for them. The Lord's paying for it. They're by His grace, but yet, though we have been freely given them, many people do not know what they are. So it's certainly worthwhile for us to study what the secrets of the secret kingdom are, what the benefits of the secret kingdom is, and it's not a secret kingdom to those that love the Lord and those that enter through the right gate, which is through Jesus as being born again. These things we also speak, not in words with which men's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So, the kingdom that we're talking about here, the kingdom of heaven, is based on an invisible spiritual reality, but it's also capable of visible physical effects. And the Lord controls both. See, the thing that's so dismal these days, and so many people are putting their hands up, there's nothing we can do about it. There's nothing we can do about abortion. There's nothing we can do about homosexual marriage. There's nothing we can do about government lies and cheating. And what do you mean there's nothing you can do about it? Of course there's something you can do about it. The Lord shows us what to do about it, and always remember this, the authority of the Lord that we come in, and that's why, for example, when David went up against Goliath, what did he say? He didn't say, hey, I'm coming up against you, you giant, and I'm going to win because I'm really experienced. He did mention his experience with bears and lions and everything else, but he didn't say that first. He said, I come in the name of the Lord God of hosts. Now that young boy at that time understood the principles of God's kingdom, that he was not going to come up against an evil force on his own power. He was going to come up against an evil force that was certainly secondary and lower and not nearly as capable as the power of Almighty God. So that's the secret of the kingdom. So the kingdom of heaven is based on an invisible spiritual reality capable of visible physical effects. And so my point is, I look at people's lives, I look at my own life, look in the mirror and look at my own life, am I seeing the visible effects of the invisible kingdom in my life? Am I seeing the visible effects of the invisible kingdom? Because that invisible kingdom, that spiritual kingdom of Christ, is eternal and far more powerful than the physical. And I see in the lives of many people, we'll be studying certain laws like laws of reciprocity, a variety of different things that are immutable laws. Just like gravity is immutable on this earth. You jump off a building, you splatter on the sidewalk, unless you have a parachute or you've got wings. Right? They're immutable laws. Works everywhere, always, all the time, universal. And the principles of God's kingdom are universal. They work for everybody or they don't work for everybody. They work for those that know and understand those principles, as we're told right here in Scripture. And they're freely given to us by God. Okay, why are we not having them work? That's the question. And the thing that, you know, somebody came to the door the other day and said, you know, God is good. God is good. I get tired of hearing people say God is good. Not because God isn't good. God is good. But my question to them is, are you good? Oh, God's so faithful. That's not the question. He's always faithful. He's always been faithful. He's never been anything but faithful. And he's God and he can't do anything but be faithful. And he can't do anything but be righteous and true. Because that's his nature. The question is, what about me? Have I been faithful? Have I been righteous and true? Because if I haven't been, then I haven't been moving in the gifts that God has given freely, right? These things we also speak, and when we're talking about situations, I mean, I hear people in church life and everything else talking a bunch of drivel. I've heard it by officials in churches. And excuse me, would somebody talk some Bible talk around here? Would somebody talk some spiritual talk around here instead of being like a corporate executive? That's the way of the world. Now, it's not to say that the kingdom of God is not in any way, shape, or form disorderly. It's an orderly kingdom. I mean, it's an orderly, clean kingdom. But it's not a worldly kingdom. And it doesn't function by worldly principles. So when you know that you're walking in the things of the Lord and using the gifts that God has given you in the way God has intended, we see a visible outcropping of that. And one of the proof texts we can look at is Matthew 7:16 and 20 that says, and Jesus didn't say, know them how they talk up it on Sunday at church or whatever day they go to church or wherever they go to church or whatever. He said, be the church. And it wasn't a matter of a day because Jesus is our Lord's Sabbath. He's our Sabbath. He said, know them by the fruit they bear. You know, just the same as we want to go to a farm and buy something. You go to a farm and all the stuff's rotten and it's junky and the place is a mess. Well, I guess those people don't know how to farm very well, right? So we need to remember that Jesus has told us, know them by the fruit they bear. And I remember one time, one of my early mentors said, you can't assess people's spirituality on Sunday in church. You have to assess their spirituality on Monday at the business meeting. Because I've been to a lot of business meetings and denominational hierarchical systems and everything else where all I heard was talking was it sounded like Metropolitan Life Insurance. And I'm not trying to down Metropolitan Life Insurance. Because they were using not the wisdom of the Lord, but the wisdom of the world. The Holy Spirit teaches comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So don't be surprised that people don't understand what you're talking about. Just make sure you understand what you're talking about. Just make sure you understand what the principles are of God's kingdom, recognizing the fact, and that's why evangelism is so important. Somebody said to me one time, what are you trying to do, get the whole world saved? Yeah, yeah. Okay, I confess, I am. I want the whole world to be saved. I don't want the whole world to be religious. I want the whole world to be born again in Christ. Because then, if they start off, and when you're born again, you're a baby. Babies don't know much, but they know something. They're born with something, but we have to raise them right. And it's the same thing spiritually. We raise the babies in the things of the Lord so they'll be able to discern and understand. But always remember this, when we think that someone else is in command. The enemy is not in command of this earth. God is Almighty God. He's not surprised. Nothing throws him off. His plan is his plan. It's always been his plan. He's working his plan out. And it's the same thing for us, even as individuals, when we understand the principles of God's kingdom. Have you got a plan that the Lord gave you in his will? If you have, why aren't you working it out according to what he gave you? And staying with that without being circumstantially thrown off. As some of you that have read the little write-up in the paper, you know, about me, was in the original article in the Concord Monitor, the woman asked me, did you go to that state house planning to affect the vote? Well, of course I did. You think I go and pray without hoping for an effect? God's God. I mean, he's Almighty God. When I pray, I ask him. I don't demand anything from him. I can't. He's God and I'm not. But I certainly ask him as a loving Heavenly Father. Help me to understand. I remember numerous times saying, Holy Spirit, I must be kind of thick. I'm not getting it. Will you please help me, because I really want to get it. I want to know about the kingdom of God. I'm willing to pay the price. And you don't have to pay. You can get into this kingdom, and you don't have to pay. It's already been paid. Jesus paid it, just like we've just seen in verse 12. Freely given to us by God. But just because it's free doesn't mean that it isn't valuable. And see, a lot of people are trashing the things that God gives because they didn't pay for them. I see this a lot of time in people's physical lives, too. Something's been given to them. Well, I didn't pay for it, so it doesn't mean anything. Oh, but somebody paid for it. It's valuable. Treat things as valuable. And the most valuable thing that we have gotten from the Lord is our salvation. But also, the secrets to his kingdom. He controls the visible, and he controls the invisible. And he is not at all off track. And the flow of God from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21 is right on time and right on track. You can be sure of that. And so when that woman asked the question, you went there purposely? Of course I did. I went there in the name of the Lord, and I prayed, and it kind of creeped them out when I spoke everybody's name, including their middle name. Creeped them out. But I challenged every one of them to remember, because I said this: God is a God of mercy with an abundance of grace, but he's also the ultimate judge. And I called their names out, and that they would be responsible, not for what anyone else did, but for what they did when they cast their vote.
And they cast it unanimously, didn't they? Mm-hmm.
No.
Oh, that wasn't unanimous?
No, it was 3-2. Yeah. There were two there that totally pro abort. Okay, I want to look at another passage of Scripture that should be extremely knowledgeable about and readily understanding. Familiar, Matthew 28, verse 18. Should immediately recognize what this is called. Does anybody know what this is called, this passage of Scripture, which is also similar to Mark 16:15? The Great Commission. Not the Great Omission, the Great Commission. Okay? Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Remember, I just a few minutes ago The Lord controls both the visible and the invisible. Jesus is the authority. Say that with me. Jesus is the authority. The man in the White House is not the authority. The man in the UN is not the authority. They have limited authority, very limited. I am not the authority, except in my own house. And in some other places that I haven't accepted authority, as we all have different roles that we have in our society. But remember this, ultimately, Jesus is the authority. Now, some people would say, Jesus was a great teacher. Oh, really? Do you believe what he taught? Oh, he was a great teacher. Really? Is a great teacher somebody that lies? Well, no, he can't be a great teacher and be a liar. And Jesus said, Jesus came and spoke to them, okay? All. How much? All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. That covers the kingdom of God, the kingdom of earth, the invisible, and the visible. And then Jesus says, because all authority has been given to him, we who are his people have been given called the Great Commission. Verse 19. Look at that. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. How many Christians believe that anymore? I don't expect the world to believe that. This was not delivered to the world. Although we should certainly make the statement to the world, understanding that because they're carnally minded and they don't have a spiritual understanding of the things of the Lord, they're probably not going to agree with it. But that's not the point, whether they agree with it. I agree with it. I know it's true. Jesus has that authority to say, you know what? You go in my name. You go in my authority. When the executive counselor that asked me to come to that meeting said to me, sit in my chair. See, I know that to be code speak. That's like Jesus saying, go in my name. Okay? Go under my authority. You have my authority to go anywhere in the world. And to, what are you supposed to do? Right? Disciple all the nations. See, when people say it's not right of us as Christians to try to get other people to follow our religion. I said, I'm not asking anyone to follow my religion. I'm asking everybody to follow my Savior, who is the only way, the only truth, the only life. And I'm asking every nation to be discipled under him. And one day, it will all be happening that way. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue will confess. And so when you understand, you don't go in your own name. If you go on with your own agenda, if you go with your own thing, you're going to get defeated. The enemy will say, well, by what authority do you do this? You remember what happened in the book of Acts, the seven sons of Sceva and others that had tried to use the name of the Lord wrong, and the enemy jumped all over him and said, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? What was that about? It was just saying, okay, Jesus we know, he's God Almighty. Paul we know, he came in the authority of Jesus, but you just come for a carnival act. You're coming in your own fleshly way, your own personal thinking, and we don't have to go by that. Just the same as when I walked in there in that building that day at the State House, I didn't go to make a name for myself. I didn't go for my own thing. I went there in the name of the Lord, and I'm commissioned of the Lord to do that, as every one of you that are born again are commissioned of the Lord to do what it says here. That's why it's called the Great Commission. Unfortunately, in many people's life, it's the Great Omission. They see no reason to in any way, shape, or form try to evangelize others. when we're being told whole nations? And what are we to do? Verse 20. Teach them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. So what he's telling us, what the Lord's telling us, is we're not going to do this alone. He's not going to say, okay, yeah, go out there and do it. I won't be with you. You're on your own. He's not saying that at all. He's saying, go and do these things. And we used to say, we're the Lord's hands extended. Well, we still should be that. I want to look at some other scriptures. In John chapter 4. John chapter 4. John chapter 4. Elijah. You're paying attention. Nobody's too poor to pay attention. Remember that. John chapter 4. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John chapter 4. By the way, like always, when we're finished, there'll be a test. That's not a joke. John 4 at verse 23. John 4 at verse 23. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. Sam, help him find the scripture, please. But the hour is coming, and now is. And that's an interesting... None of the verbiage, particularly in authorized text and reliable scriptural translation, is accidental. So, the hour is coming, and now is. We have an hour that's coming, but there's also an hour that is. We live now. The Lord is not surprised that things have gone on the way they are in America and the world. The hour is now. But there's also an hour coming. There's other things to come. And see, there are people, for example, that are saying, well, I'm not going to bother with anything now because something's coming. But that'd be ridiculous. You have to be involved with what's going on now. Because the things that are going on now are within our hands to do something about. And some of the things that are coming, we don't have any part in, or we don't have any control over, is probably a better way to do it. And if we do the things today, and Jesus said it this way, there's enough trouble out there for days to come, take care of today. And most people aren't taking care of today the way that the Lord wants them to. And this idea of true worshipers. And so we can ask ourselves a question today. Do we even know what it is to be a true worshiper? I mean, some people don't even sing. I mean, not to say that singing is the only way of worship. It isn't. Most people don't even pray, although that's not the only way of worshiping. Or they don't study scripture. That's a way of worship. Or they don't tell anybody else about Jesus. That's a way of worship. Or they don't organize their lives in a way that reflects Christ in their lives. But one thing is for sure, that true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. I think I would be very glad on my tombstone someday. Now here lies a true worshiper of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And yes, though many of my more fundamentalist friends take me to task for saying, yes, I worship the Holy Spirit. And you know why I worship the Holy Spirit? Because He's God too. I'm a Trinitarian Christian. I believe in God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And yes, I worship them all. Knowing that Jesus has been given all authority in heaven and on earth, but the Holy Spirit helps me to understand what that authority is and how we can come in that authority. God is Spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. So if we're going to have true worship, we need to understand what it is to worship Him in spirit and truth. And remember what we had as our theme today, basically, that the kingdom of God is the kingdom of truth. It's not the kingdom of half-truth. It's not the kingdom of lies. The kingdom of lies belongs to who? Satan. He's the father of lies, and he is a kingdom of lies. And so what we're facing in our country is obviously seeing not the kingdom of God revealed as our forefathers wanted it to be, and as we still, many of us, want it to be. I mean, it's like who gets up, and I've heard this by attorneys. The person that wins in court is the person that lies the best. And I said, well, let me tell you, if you win because you lied, you didn't win anything. You get a temporary victory because the kingdom of God is not a kingdom of lies. The kingdom of God is a kingdom of truth. And facing the truth about who we are as individuals, and I'm pointing my own finger at myself, who I am, what I do, what I don't do, why I do what I do and what I don't do, and so forth and so on. First and foremost, before you can help somebody else, as the Lord says, you got to take the log out of your own eye before you can take the splinter out of someone else's eye. You got to face the truth about yourself. And one of the truths that I know is I am nothing without Jesus. And that I can't understand His kingdom and His principles and without, first of all, having the desire to understand and letting the Holy Spirit teach me. But I can tell you one thing, it works precept on precept the same as building a wall. When you build a wall, you have to lay out a plumb line. And then you have to put brick upon brick upon brick and so forth and so on. Well, that's how the kingdom of God operates. A couple of more scriptures here. Turn a few chapters more to John chapter 14. Now, there are some scriptures in particular that are extremely helpful for us as we're trying to witness to other people and talk about what the truth is. And by the way, somebody emailed me after reading the article and said, I bet you finished off what you said there, in that get together there at the State House with saying, we'll have no other king but King Jesus. And I emailed back, no, I never say that last. I always say that first. And I did. First thing that came out of my mouth, we'll have no other king but King Jesus. Right? Because I figure, what if I don't live a few more minutes? I want to make sure that's the last thing that came out of my mouth before it's all over. So John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, some point in time, everybody here with us today, hopefully you've already made that decision, and hopefully you believe this, and you still believe it. Some maybe haven't come to that decision yet. I have family members that haven't. I have friends that haven't, even though they've been presented with lots of things, but they do not believe that Jesus is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. But I believe that the kingdom of God is the kingdom of truth, and the kingdom of God is the kingdom of Christ. Because Jesus just doesn't have truth. Some people have a little bit of truth. But Jesus is the truth. He just doesn't have the truth. He is the truth. And regardless of what anyone is going to do to me or do to me or say about me or whatever, that isn't going to change. They may be able to get rid of me, and they can get rid of what I do, and so forth and so on, but that is truth, and it'll stand throughout eternity, because it is true. I don't believe the Bible is true because I believe it. The Bible is true, and because it's true, I believe it. It isn't true because I believe it. You understand that? It's true, and that's why I believe it. It's not true because I believe it. Some people think that because they believe something, they're sincere in their belief, it must be true. But that isn't the mark of truth. Jesus is the mark of truth. And then Matthew chapter 7. So go back a little bit. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. And verse 21. Matthew chapter 7. See, we give our fingers a workout here. You know how they used to say with the phone book, let your fingers do the walking? Well, Matthew chapter 7, and how life has changed. Who uses a phone book anymore? Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. And this is very, well, very convicting, isn't it? Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Give a second for the Holy Spirit to percolate that in your soul. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. That's one of the secrets of the kingdom that's not so secret, is it? There are plenty of people that use the name of the Lord. Some of them are using his name in vain. Some people invoking his name thinking that he has to do for them whatever he asks. There's been teaching even in the body of Christ saying, whatever I pray, God has to do it because I pray in Jesus' name. Well, if that's true, then you're God and he isn't. He doesn't have to do anything I ask him to do. Because he's God and I'm not. And that's one of the biggest things that I hope to get across wherever I go to speak. Excuse me, Mr. Governor. Excuse me, Mr. President. Excuse me, Mr. Business Owner. There's a God and you're not him. And there's a God and I'm not him. And the God there is only one God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And not everyone that talks a good story understands the principles of God's kingdom. Because the kingdom of God is the kingdom of truth. And the first understanding is you're lost, and you're going to stay lost unless you let Jesus find you. That's one of the first truths that people have to, you know. Cameron and I the other day were having a discussion about a friend of his that says he's never done anything wrong and so forth and so on. I said, well, how do you know that's not true? I know it's not true, but how do you know it's not true? And he understands from Scripture in Romans chapter 3 and chapter 6, those verses of 23 and 25 that said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everybody's been mistaken except for Jesus. Everybody has made mistakes. Nobody's been right all the time. And people who walk around saying they're right all the time are either crazy, foolish, or certainly diabolically influenced. But Jesus is right all the time. And the kingdom of heaven is the kingdom of truth. Say that with me. The kingdom of heaven is the kingdom of truth. Right? Lord, Lord. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Father, I want to do your will. I've had to say many times, Father, I want to do your will. Show me what your will is, and I'll do that. Instead of me praying this long list, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to go here, and whatever, Lord, show me your will. this past week in our devotional time, and we had a visit with a pastor and his wife, and as we were going around and asking, okay, what's your prayer request for today and so forth, my prayer request was, please pray with all the requests that I have, that I can press the no button when the answer is no from the Lord and the yes button when it's yes from the Lord, and to know the difference. And I have put, as a screensaver years ago, I put, Lord, show me your will and I will do that. And the Lord has said, I have shown you my will. I've shown you my will. You can read it. See? It's the same as we say, well, gee, how do you get to know somebody? Well, spend time with them. Ask them questions. See what they do. They've written something, read it. One of the things that was my defense, so to speak, when I had some defenders there afterwards explaining to the governor and to the one of the naysaying executive counselors, this man has been coming up here to the state house for 25 years and he's never said anything different than he said today. For 25 years. So anyone that knows me knows that. I haven't changed. I mean, I've changed perhaps the way I might do it, or I've changed my clothes and my underwear frequently. Yeah, that's a good thing. But I haven't changed what I believed. I haven't changed what I've said. I've always declared from the scriptures right away, because that hasn't changed. How I deliver that, you know, with what force or whatever in different circumstances, maybe a little change there. Because Jesus has said, it isn't everyone that says, Lord, Lord, but those that do the will of the Father. I can tell you just from my standpoint, if I have to explain to somebody all the time, oh yeah, Garrett, I'm with you on this, but they never seem to be able to do it, then I wonder about that. And so Jesus was saying, nobody's going to fool me. Anyone who plays the religious game and whatever, just calling on my name but doesn't do the will of the Father, they're not entering into the kingdom of heaven. They don't understand the kingdom of heaven is the kingdom of truth. And that is a principle of the kingdom, as we're studying principle kingdom, the principles of the kingdom. You know, it's kind of an interesting thing, and I can't get away ever without making some mention of American foundational documents. That the truths of Jesus that we're talking about here, and the principles of the kingdom and the truth of Jesus' kingdom, have shown up in places like the American Declaration of Independence, that those truths are self-evident. Just the same as when we use the truth of common law, and people think it's common law. Who wants common? I don't want common anything. I want something that's special. Well, common is not anything but special. Common law is very special because it comes from God. And just as we had the opportunity this week in talking with this pastor, and said, you know, if you want to pray something for me, pray that I have more opportunity to explain people that if they don't go along with God's principles and God's word, they will never get justice. Mm-hmm. We'll never see it. It can't happen in a courtroom. That the whole system of jurisprudence, and by the way, I quoted one of our Supreme Court justices who was a lecturer in law, James Wilson, a signer of the Declaration of Independence, I quoted him at that executive council meeting. And he said, life begins at conception and goes through natural death. A justice of the Supreme Court, signer of the Declaration, said that. And so any court that doesn't believe that is no court of law. And any ruling that comes out that says, as people have asked me, what are you going to do about same-sex marriage? Same thing I've always done about it. There is no such thing as same-sex marriage because that's not biblical. It's not God's law, and if it's not God's law, then it's not law at all. and there's nothing in the Constitution, and if there was, I'd burn the Constitution. If there was anything in the Constitution that justified killing human beings in the womb, I'd burn that Constitution, and I would take no oath to it. But those things are not there, and they never were intended to be there because it was biblically based, and they're not in the Bible. Simple as that. Well, Father, we do thank you that you have not kept your kingdom secret from those who love you, who want to do your will. Your will is your way, and your way is your will. And you revealed it to us. Thank you so much, Holy Spirit, for being our teacher. Thank you so much, Lord, for sending your love in these love letters known as the Bible, the Holy Bible. Not a Holy Bible is supposed to sit on a coffee table getting dust. Too holy to touch it. It's so sanctified I can't even go near it. No. The words are holy, and they're supposed to be down deep in our hearts where we would not sin against thee. Help us, Lord, in our daily lives to speak these things out, not because we have hatred or malice in our heart towards anyone, but because we have come to know the secrets of the kingdom and enjoy them. Help us to know them better that you've freely given us. There are principles to that kingdom. That kingdom operates totally on principle, not on whim, not on will, not on circumstance, not because somebody wants and does, somebody doesn't want, somebody wants to hear or somebody doesn't want to hear. Oh, gee, I'm not going to go evangelize because people don't want to hear. Lord, you gave the command. Go and disciple the nations. You didn't say, oh, just pick the ones that want to hear or whatever. You said, just go and do this. And we find out there are actually many people out there who do want to hear. And Holy Spirit, you'll lead us to those people that are ready, who have eyes to see and ears to hear. Thank you for your many blessings upon us on this, the Lord's Day, the first day of the week. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.